QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for January 18, 2012. The Aries Audio e-letter report is a voice version of the Aries e-letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries e-letter is available online at www.arrl.org/Aries-EL. Or you may listen to the audio version at www.arrl.org/Aries-E-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN in Lanham, Maryland. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. In this edition, we have for you a correction and an apology, Army Mars and Winlink update, reminder to ARRL local emergency coordinators and section emergency coordinators, Nacogdoches, Texas Amateur Radio Club assists in Angelina River Bottom fire, operators to demo MCOMs in Michigan, Michigan MCOM Group selects one of its own for award, letters, Aries supports major extreme racing event in Kentucky, and K1CE for a final. First, a correction and an apology. Rick Palm, K1CE, Aries e-letter editor, writes, in the lead story on Army Mars and Winlink 2000 in the recently released January issue of the Aries e-letter, there are unfortunate style errors when referring to statements made by Lieutenant General Susan Lawrence. These errors were unintentional but regrettable. We apologize for them. Here is the corrected edition of the issue. Army Mars and Winlink update. According to Pudge Forrester, AAA Niner GL, government liaison for Army Mars, Lieutenant General Susan Lawrence has reversed the decision to phase out the use of the Winlink 2000 global radio email system by Army Mars members. General Lawrence stated that the Army, after reviewing its capabilities, had decided that the continued use of Winlink 2000 was a valuable asset to Army Mars members and agencies that were using the service. She issued a statement to the effect on December 21, 2011. On January 5, 2012, the Chief of Army Mars officially notified his membership that the phase-out notice had been rescinded. Army Mars members and agencies who had been using the service hailed the decision by General Lawrence and resumed use of Winlink 2000. Reminder to ARRL local emergency coordinators and section emergency coordinators, don't forget to submit your 2011 annual reports to ARRL headquarters. ECs may access Form C, EC Annual Report, on the ARRL's public service page, www.arrl.org/public-service-field-services-forms. So you're using the ARRL website with the phrase Public Service Field Services Forms with dashes in between the words of that phrase. So again, the address is www.arrl.org/public-service-field-services-forms. The form may be downloaded as a Word document. Once completed, email it to ARRL Field Services Supervisor Steve Ewald, WV1X, and his email address is cwald@arrl.org. Cwald is spelled S-E-W-A-L-D. Or you may snail mail it to ARRL Headquarters, 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut, 06111. Nacogdoches, Texas Amateur Radio Club assists in Angelina River Bottom fire. This comes to us from Andy Delgado, KE5EXX in Nacogdoches, Texas. Command, this is Lilbert. Go ahead, Lilbert, this is Command. Command, a civilian stopped by just now and notified us that some heavy smoke is visible south of County Road 343, within a mile of the Angelina River Bridge. She says the smoke was not there earlier. Roger, Lilbert. We will pass that information on. KE5GEN. Thank you, Command. KE5EXX. Well, this was one of the QSOs between Rusty Sanders, KD5GEN, and myself, Andy Delgado, on the afternoon of September 7th, 2011. Sanders was at the Angelina River Bottom Fire Command Center that was established in the small town of Douglas, Texas. I was located in a small church in the Lilbert community that was acting as a supply point for the firefighters. Douglas is just 3 miles north of where the piney woods of East Texas was ablaze. Earlier that day, the Nacogdoches County Sheriff's Office had contacted Kent Tannery, KD5SHM, and asked if the Nacogdoches Amateur Radio Club could provide communications assistance to the firefighters. Tannery then called the Nacogdoches County Emergency Management Planning Section Chief, Tara Triana, to find out what was needed and where. Tannery said, "They told me they wanted 3 hams at 3 places, Douglas, Lilbert, and Sockel." But then Chief Triana told me they needed help monitoring the 3 different fire locations that were using the Texas fire frequencies and relay for them. Tannery continued, "Then I knew what to take and what we needed to do, and looked up those frequencies and emailed them to Army Curtis, AE5P. Curtis immediately activated an emergency net on the club's 147.32 MHz repeater and coordinated activating Rusty Sanders, KD5GEN, to man the command center, Kent Tannery, KD5SHM, to operate from Sockel, and myself, KE5EXX, to operate from Lilbert. We ended up using 2 ICOM IC2720 units and a Yaesu FT-1500 to communicate between the 3 remote locations and act as relays to the different fire departments. The sheriff's office supplied each of us with portable radios. We also provided health and welfare traffic, such as confirming that assets were moved to the correct location or that food and drinks were provided to the firefighters. As soon as I arrived on location, I checked in with the point of contact. I looked for the best place to set up, preferably someplace quiet and out of the way. I originally attempted to use a 5/8 wave magnetic mount 2-meter antenna on a cookie sheet from the inside of the building, but I was unable to reach the repeater. In order for me to get on the air, I put the mag mount on the roof of the metal building I was in and ran the coax in through a window. Lessons learned? We learned quite a bit from this event. Although all of us were activated during the Space Shuttle Columbia disaster and numerous hurricanes that have hit our area, this was new territory for many of us. Until now, we had not operated from such remote areas. We found that we needed to add more coax to our go-kits. We also found that we needed more of the mast or tripod antenna kits that were later donated to us. Nacogdoches County Sheriff Thomas Kurz commented, "We realized the value of incorporating the use of amateur radio into our operations several years ago during the Space Shuttle Columbia disaster. We continue to see that value today." Thanks to the efforts of the local amateur radio operators during the Angelina River Bottom fire, we were able to establish communication links with emergency responders in areas of our county that would not have been possible otherwise. That report from Andy Delgado, KE5EXX, Nacogdoches, Texas. We'll take a short pause now to allow repeaters to identify. This is the audio version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter for January 18, 2012. Operators to demo MCOMs in Michigan. Hundreds of amateur radio operators across the country will be displaying their emergency communication capabilities on Saturday, January 28, 2012, in Muskegon, Michigan. The public is invited to step out and view what amateur radio communications can do in times of emergencies. The Society for the Preservation of Amateur Radio, known as SPAR, established a winter field day event in 2007 and invited amateur radio operators to participate. Using emergency power, operators will construct and operate portable emergency stations in parks, shopping malls, schools, and backyards across the country. Operators will demonstrate long and short-range voice, data, and Morse code communications. In the Muskegon area, the Muskegon County Emergency Communication Services, MCECS, and the Muskegon Area Amateur Radio Council, MAARC, will be demonstrating their communication skills at the Muskegon Conservation Club, North Muskegon, on Saturday, January 28th from noon until 7 p.m. Other groups from around the country are encouraged to join in. Thanks to Emergency Coordinator for Muskegon County, Michigan, James Durham, KECOP, for this information. Michigan MCOM Group selects one of its own for award. The Muskegon-Michigan County Emergency Communication Services has awarded Barbara Grobe, K9BLG, the Al Ronning Outstanding Service Award. The award is given each December to a member of the group that has gone above and beyond the call of duty in service to this organization. This recognition is given in memory of Al Ronning, K8AER, who was an inspiration to other members of the group in his tireless effort in public service. Mr. Ronning was a member of the group who died in an automobile crash in December 2006. Emergency Coordinator for Muskegon County, Michigan, James Durham, K8COP, awarded the plaque to Barbara Grobe at their December meeting. And now letters. Marty Wall, N6VI, the Vice Director of the ARRL Southwestern Division, Assistant DEC for ARRI's LAX BCUL-15, and Training Officer for the Los Angeles Fire Department, writes, "The item in the December 21, 2011 ARRI's e-letter does a good job of describing the role of the Type 3 Communications Unit Leader, known as COML. However, readers should be aware that actual certification requires task completion and sign-off of a task book that may be impossible to achieve if one is not already appropriately employed in a public safety agency. Thus, I don't think the rating is achievable for hams not already in the business." P.A. Sadowski, AH6LS, IT Manager for the North Carolina State Highway Patrol Technical Services Unit in Raleigh, North Carolina, wrote, "In the recent ARRI's e-letter, there was the statement, 'This COML training will qualify emergency responders to lead ICS communications units if they possess the necessary prerequisites, including knowledge of local communications, communications systems, and regional, state, and local communications plans.' To be more correct, the training alone doesn't qualify emergency responders by itself after one takes the COML training. The most important part of the process to achieve COML qualification is completion of a task book that the student receives. This document gets signed off on each of the tasks by served agency staff in authority to see firsthand that the student demonstrates the capabilities of the position. This task book must be signed off when the student demonstrates experience in real-world events or exercises. Then the task book must be submitted to a state-level organization that has the responsibility for certifying the student before they can say anything other than that they attended the course. The COML qualification is not awarded until those additional steps take place. Merely taking the course is not sufficient. I should note that the Department of Homeland Security Office of Emergency Communications is also running other courses that would be useful to radio amateurs. Here in North Carolina, we in ARRI's and MARS have a strong effort to support the agencies we serve, and I'm sure the effort is equally as strong in other states. That being said, I can say with some confidence that a good number of COMLs in North Carolina who have had their task books submitted for approval are hams. The DHS OEC staff just last week came to North Carolina for our second State Communications Interoperability Summit. There were many hams in attendance, and among the many events and training opportunities, with amateur radio having a major role in this event, there was a 2-day exercise for COM-L students from previous COM-L courses, and a small number of students demonstrated all the task book capabilities to multiple COM-L qualified evaluators so that some or all of their COM-L tasks could be signed off by DHS and state qualified evaluators for submission to our State Interoperability Executive Committee, which certifies COM-Ls here. North Carolina has led the way in the number of ARIES operators getting ICS course completion, as well as AUXCOM training. North Carolina ARIES, MARS, and AUXCOM hams are in exercises and real-world demonstrations. They show our served agencies the benefits of having a partnership with NIMS and ICS-trained amateur radio operators serving the emergency response agencies in our state, along with the communities they protect and support. Here's a note to repeater owners. Please let us know if your repeater is airing the ARRL Audio ARIES e-letter with an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. And please remember to put the word repeater in the subject line. Also include the day, time, location, repeater call sign, frequency, and any sponsoring club. So that email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. Thanks. And thanks to John Creel for airing the Audio ARIES e-letter on his WB3GXW repeater in Silver Spring, Maryland on Friday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The frequency is 147.225 MHz. We'll take another short pause to allow repeaters to identify. This is the audio version of the ARRL ARIES e-letter for January 18, 2012. ARIES supports major extreme racing event in Kentucky. Randall E. Gilreath, 84WB, District Emergency Coordinator for District 11, ARIES Kentucky Section, submits the following. The United States Adventure Race Association, USARA, National Championship Extreme Racing Event was held October 7th and 8th, 2011, in McCreary County, Kentucky. It was a cross-country extreme Ironman event consisting of three-person co-ed teams from across the United States, involving hiking, biking, canoeing, and orienteering. The event was coordinated at Cumberland Falls State Park. The race started at Blue Heron in the Big South Fork National River and Recreation Area at 8 a.m. Friday. The first team finished exactly 20 hours and 15 minutes later in the early morning hours of Saturday. Communications was provided by Region 5 ARIES from McCreary, Pulaski, and Whitley counties in Kentucky. Amateur radio operators were positioned at 6 transition areas and reported arrivals and departures of each team at each of the areas. Many legs were involved, starting with a short hike from the start point before the teams transitioned to mountain bikes. An orienteering course tested the team's map and compass ability. The teams started a time trial event called the King of the Mountain at Bell Farm. This event tested the team's endurance for a climb to the top of Peters Mountain Lookout Tower. More biking was followed by the teams transitioning to canoes to paddle a distance of 5.7 miles with another orienteering course at the end of the paddle. More paddling and biking was followed by more orienteering courses. Total distance was 78.2 miles through some of the most beautiful country in the eastern United States. Lessons learned? ARIES operators performed with excellence, totaling 23 hours of continuous operation. The repeater used was the 444.050 MHz machine in Williamsburg, Kentucky, owned and maintained by Will Jones, KB4PTJ. The repeater offered outstanding coverage, including handheld coverage in most places along the river gorge. The challenge was the size of the course and the number of operators who were able to volunteer their time and resources to such a major task. Mr. Gilreath says, "I was forced to ask several operators to move from one transition point to another to provide information as the contestants checked in and out. I had a difficult time recruiting enough ARES members, and that was the main reason for some lack of coverage." The ARES Net Control Station, NCS, was established in a room at DuPont Lodge and sent information upstairs to race officials, who in turn posted it on the USARA website. Due to limited access of an entry point for our coax and antenna location, we were forced to be in a separate room from the race officials. This problem was overcome by the NCS operator's adaptability, relaying reports from the field by texting and sending emails to race officials. But the bottom line is the NCS operation and the USARA bloggers should have been co-located. Another issue was lack of food for the communications personnel at each transition point. Since all operators were informed to bring their own food, should none be available? But it was not a problem. The lesson is, when deployed on any type of public service event or an actual emergency, an ARES member should be self-sustaining and not rely on being provided with this type of support. The participation by ARES members from different Kentucky districts was great. Operators fell into place without any problems. The NCS was up and running before the race start and was well-staffed with 4 operators and several radios to cover the primary as well as the secondary frequency. Net control operators were members of the Lake Cumberland Amateur Radio Association due to their duty-specific training by Don Muncy, AC4DM, in Pulaski County. They performed flawlessly. Our effort was typical of an actual emergency response and was excellent training for all involved. Thanks to Randall E. Gilreath, AD4WB, District Emergency Coordinator for District 11, ARES Kentucky Section, for this submission. K1CE for a final. Rick Palm writes, "Here is a news story from my hometown of Palm Coast in Flagler County, Florida. It was written by Public Information Officer Eddie Kale, KJ4LRB. 2012 ARRL Kids Day Event, Flagler County ARES and the Flagler Palm Coast Amateur Radio Club hosted the ARRL Kids Day Event in Palm Coast. Participants included Boy Scout Troop 402, who were working on radio merit badges, and youth from all over the county. The objective was to get youth on the air and get them interested in amateur radio by passing basic traffic over HF and other modes. Children were able to log their traffic and see what it was like to work stations near and far. Both groups are working to garner youth's interests and advancing their education to the point of obtaining their licenses. The Flagler Palm Coast Amateur Radio Club runs a cadet program year-round, educating students on various aspects of amateur radio, and both organizations hope to run similar events during the year. And that's the ARRL ARES Audio e-letter version for January 18, 2012. The ARES Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARES Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL ARES e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, please visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2012 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.